How many of you know Jesus is in the Old Testament? Let's look at Proverbs 15 tonight, and there's a theme that runs all through this chapter. And I want to preface this tonight with this. Over in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was having a pretty stiff encounter with some Pharisees and some scribes, and he said, "Hypocrites." It means pretenders, hypocrites. It means stage actor. It means man behind a mask. And he told them, he said, "You wash the outside of the cup and the dish. Looks good on the outside. But I'm telling you that you need to wash the inside of the cup so that the outside will be clean." And I think I want you to be mindful of that, of washing the inside of the cup. This is the cup. Wash the inside, then the outside will be clean. And so that's what we're looking at here tonight in this chapter. It's matters of the heart. So let's just get started here. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Now, we've become a people who think that being a Christian requires us to be nice. Nice. Even to the point of flattery. If you're not, if it's not what you mean in your heart, that's not beneficial. Besides that, that's really not what this word means. When I chased it down, the Hebrew word, it says a soft answer. That soft, it means it's not soft, it's a bad translation. The Hebrew word means tender. But it's describing a baby or a little calf or something young. And what is associated with the young? And I chased this down. You can do your own research. But it means an innocent or a sincere answer. In other words, a baby doesn't have an ulterior motive or a secret agenda, right? Jesus said, "I want you to come to me as little children." He wasn't talking about wearing Pampers and sucking bottles. He was talking about being genuine without an ulterior motive, without a manipulative device in the background. He wants us to come with a tender, with an innocent, with a sincere word. But we, in our carnal nature, we tend to be a pain. And I'm bad about it. I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm right here. We match emotions. How many people? Somebody, you come in, you're mad at me. I'm getting mad right back. Right? Match. Well, does that mean that we should condition our words? We should be careful and mindful. Now, we should use the self-control that's made available to us in the Spirit. But this is indicative. Matching emotions and entering into the hostility and being angry and harsh and these kind of things. It's indicative that there's a problem in here. This is what needs to be fixed. We're going to see some examples of these manifestations of these heart problems. And I got a little authority on this because that little time down in Indianapolis last week was not about exposing a problem with the truck. That little time down in Indianapolis last week was about exposing a problem that's in me. I had become sick, heart sick. I had drifted away from my first love, Jesus. the Lord. I wasn't walking in the love of the Lord. And I didn't even know it. But the Lord took me to Revelation, where Jesus was writing these letters to these churches, you know. And he led me to the, what was it, Ephesus? He comes into him, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "Hey, look, I see your works. You got good works. You got great works. Your works are great. But I got this against you. You've lost your first love. Go back and do the first works." Now, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here, and I'm getting all this intuitive correction here, and I'm like, me? I mean, surely not me. Yeah. Can you? I'm not suggesting that because I got this correction that you are too, but I'm saying that the principle is one and the same. When we see these outward manifestations of these things, that it's indicative that there is an internal problem. Fixing the problem internally, becoming closer with Jesus, doing things His way, subjection, surrender, these are the things, the way to fix the problem. These are the solutions. So a soft answer turns away wrath. We know that to be true if we're looking at the thing externally. But a harsh word stirs up anger, and we know that to be true, but that's the external thing. What's the solution to the problem? It's not pretending, and it's not being nice, and it's not conditioning our words to be flattering and nice and sweet. That's not the answer. Heart. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge. That word knowledge, it means the knowledge of God. It means the true intelligence. It's interchangeable with wisdom. It uses it rightly. It means it uses it thoroughly. It uses it for good. And so the mouth of the wise uses the knowledge of God rightly, thoroughly, for good, but the mouth of fools, the fool, according to Psalm 14:1, is the man who says in his heart there is no God, the man who's separated from God, who's hostile to God. Him, he pours forth foolishness. It's folly. It's up here in 14:24. We looked at it over there. Pouring from his mouth is a fountain of foolishness. Well, so let that pass. Three. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Now, are we talking about good guys, bad guys? Because we're pretty self-centered people in our carnal nature, right? So are we dividing teams here? We think, well, you know, because in our narcissistic, self-centered nature, we think that, well, okay, so we're talking about the good guys and the bad guys. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, and He's watching the good people and the evil people. And we think whatever team we're on, He's watching the other one. When I was among the evil people, which I'm still among the evil people, I'm going to back out of that. That's not right, because I'm among the good people, because I'm in the family of God. When I was on the opposing team, I thought the Lord don't watch nobody but the good people. But now that I'm among the good people, the tendency is to think that, well, the Lord's got His eye on you if you're being evil. You sinners, right? But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And how many of you know that there is evil and good in each of us? And He's watching both. How many of you ever try to slip, well, the Lord can't see me over here. So I'm going to do this dope or drink this whiskey or sleep with The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. There's a good guy and a bad guy in each of us. Okay, let's move on. Okay, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We studied that before. The word wholesome, it means gentle, modest speech, and it means a meek heart. Now, that don't mean nice. I'm being nice. That's not what that means. It means wholesome. It means for good. We're using the knowledge, back up in this other verse, we're using the knowledge of the Lord thoroughly for good. Truth isn't always easy to hear. Okay. A wholesome tongue, an honest, genuine speech is a provider of welfare, but perverseness, flattery in it, breaks the spirit. How many of you have ever seen that when we try to pretend like we're somebody that we're not? How many of you have ever done more damage with flattery than I have too? That's not good. We don't need to try to produce, make a production out of our speech. I'm going to alter my, okay, I'm going to use speak Christianese and change my language to the church jargon, and I'm going to be nice, and you understand what I'm saying? Well, that's hogwash. We need to be concerned about walking in the love of the Lord. And He's doing a transforming work in our hearts, in our minds. We're being renewed in the spirit of our minds. This exterior stuff, that's not where the solutions are. The solutions are, is that our heart, we were created by God and for God so that we could be one with God for worship. We're created for worship, the worship of Jesus Christ. And as long as we're okay in that, we're walking in the love of the Lord. I remember Charlie telling me for years, you just need to let the Lord love you. Made me mad for a long time. What's that mean? Do you get it? I finally get it. Do you get it? Because if you let the Lord love you, verse 5, a fool, who's the fool? The man who says this in his heart that there is no God. Right? That's the fool. A fool despises his father's instruction. But he who receives correction is prudent. He's true. Jesus said, I'm sending you out of sheep among wolves. You need to be shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. So your heart needs to be right. You see what I'm saying? All right, verse 6. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. We're going to be rich. Right? We're going to be rich. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Okay. In the house, in the household, in the family of the righteous, who are the righteous? The righteous that by faith have been justified by God. So, in the family, in the household of the justified by God, there is much treasure. The word treasure, the Hebrew word for treasure, means an abundance of salvation. What's the wealth here? Is it money? Is it cars? Is that going to satisfy you? No, but the abundance of His salvation will. That's where the satisfaction, that's where the wealth is. So in the house of the justified, there's an abundance of salvation. But in the revenue, in the produce of the wicked, the hostile to God, is trouble. This is the Hebrew rendition of the Greek word that Jesus used. Remember at the pool of Bethesda where the people would come and lay around the pool and they'd wait on the angel of the Lord to show up and trouble the water? In the produce, not we're not talking about money. We got to get our minds off the money, in the revenue of the wicked, in the produce, what they produce, what they produce in life, what their life is all about, what they produce, the people who are still hostile to God, who don't want anything to do with them. I mean, you don't, how many of you know that you don't have to be mean about that to reject the gospel? You can be very nice, very polite, very politically correct, very socially acceptable, and go to hell. What the revenue, the produce of those who are hostile to God is agitation and trouble. How many of you, before you came and started trying to walk as honest as you can with the Lord Jesus in your life today, experienced everything? It didn't matter what it was. It seemed like even the things that you enjoyed to do were agitating, and it was trouble. I mean, I would go out and party it up and have a great time, but the whole time it was full of trouble. Can I get a witness? Is that your experience too, or is it just me? Yeah, normal. It's where you just expect it. I'm going to go get a shower and clean up and put some cologne on so I can go out here and have trouble and agitation. Don't ever diminish how resilient a human being is to suffer through trouble, because we can endure an insurmountable amount of hardship while we're focused on what I want. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. But the, here we go, we're going to start. Okay, I circle all the times it says heart down through here. But anyway, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of fools does not do so. So the comparison is made, the synonymous parallelism in this verse, in this couplet, is right there. So the lips, so the mouth and the heart, they're synonymous. One's connected to the other. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the heart is wise, if the heart is one with the Spirit of God, then knowledge will come forth. Knowledge of God, true intelligence, wisdom will come forth if the Spirit is in here. This is what we need to be concerned with, not conditioning the words that come out of our mouth. Get this heart right with Jesus. Truthful and honest and sincere coming out here. I mean, you know, look, I'm not a good guy. I got a bad temper and a big mouth. That doesn't go away overnight. I just really had a great encounter with the Lord. He corrected me, and it was hard, but it was wonderful and it was good. But you know what? That change didn't happen immediately. I didn't all of a sudden become a nice and loving and sweet guy. I don't know if I'll ever be a nice and loving and sweet guy. Maybe in heaven, but here, hey, I don't know. But that doesn't mean that the heart didn't get changed, that the heart didn't accept the correction, that the heart didn't hear and obey and subject myself and submit to the authority of Jesus, the Spirit of God. Now, the change will happen, but the outward manifestations may not happen immediately. We don't need to be too concerned about the outward manifestations. What we need to be concerned about is here. Because look, washing the inside of the cup for months now, my works have been good. As a matter of fact, my works have been great. I'm sick. I told my daughter one day, I said, I think I'm going to go to the doctor and get some blood work done, something. Maybe I'm getting too old for this heavy a schedule. Maybe my schedule is just too heavy. Maybe I've just bit off more than I can chew. But when I was walking in the love of the Lord, you couldn't put more work in front of me than what I could do. My heart was sick. Drifted. Beware of drifting. Hebrews talks about drifting. Don't drift away. from the Lord. How many of you know that it can look real good on the outside and you can be a very sick man on the inside? Now, I know y'all are going to be shocked and appalled to find out that I'm pretty stubborn. But the Lord downed me in a hotel room. I didn't have a title to hide behind. I didn't have a place on this platform to hide behind. I didn't have any works to hide behind. I didn't have any superior Bible knowledge to hide behind. There was nowhere to hide. And the Lord said, we're going to take a look at this. Because I love you. Tear your hind end up, have to. Thank God he hears. Thank God he cares about us that much. Am I the only one who ever gets in trouble? Y'all ever been in trouble? But when you get in trouble with the Lord, there's this joy. You're like, thank you, Dad. Thank you that you love me enough to be mindful that I'm drifting off here and you're willing to correct me. Thank you. Because I know I don't do everything right. I'm not trying to make this about me. Lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but heart. Every river has a mouth. The mouth of the river. Heard of the mouth of a river? The mouth of the river. You know what happens at the mouth of the river? It dumps out into a bigger body of water. Well, how many of you know that our heart has an access point? You know, the mouth, the lips, that word, it means access point. The mouth of a sack is where you access or pour out the coins. The mouth of a well is where you access and it pours out the water. The mouth of the access point of the heart is the mouth. If the Jesus said, if the light in you is good, come on. If your heart's good, if your heart's one with the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about perfect, I'm not talking about piety. Brian was talking about piety, it's pretending to be pious and there was nobody more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus said, woe to you. Woe to you, hypocrites. We've almost made that a curse word. I don't think he was doing it. I think he was correcting with the same amount of love that he corrected me with in that hotel room in Indianapolis. You're pretending here, and it's going to take you to a bad place. Stop pretending. It's not necessary. How many of you know that we can be honest with our God? That he knows where we are already anyway. How many of you know that if we'll ask him to change my heart, oh God, that he'll get on board with that? If we want our access point to have wisdom and encouragement and beneficial things, not just beneficial for me, beneficial for the body, it's an inside job. Is everybody willing to accept that here tonight? The sacrifice of the wicked. Who are the wicked? Hostile to God. The sacrifice of the wicked. In other words, the gifts of the wicked. The giving of the wicked. They come in to give. They present their gifts. They sacrifice. They make any sacrifice. So that giving, the trying to bless the Lord, giving, that's an abomination to the Lord. If you're hostile toward me, don't try to flatter me with your gifts. Huh? Cain. It's an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer, the supplication, the needing of the upright. That word upright in this context, this word in this sentence, it means straightforward, genuine, honest, sincere. It don't mean nice and flattering and sweet. It don't mean that. It means straightforward. It doesn't mean pious and religious. It means straightforward. You call a spade, baby. How many of you know that the Lord loves honest people? Let the record show that that was Brian that said that. But you're right. The neediness, the prayer, the asking, the supplication, the request of the straightforward is God's delight. Verse 9, the way of the wicked. I looked it up this morning. I didn't write notes because I was looking up on my phone app, but I think I can remember. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. I believe that means the journey, the whole life journey of the hostile to God is an abomination to the Lord. But he loves him who follows righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. He is the righteousness of God, period. That's what the Word teaches. He loves the person who follows Jesus. Why? Because he said it right there on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my Son, and him I'm well pleased. It's the whole predestination concept. There was one that was chosen. It was the Son of God. In him I'm well pleased. If we're in him, we're the Lord's delight. That way thing was a different verse. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. Who's the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. If you forsake that way, harsh discipline. And he who hates correction will die. Die. Death in the Bible is separation. When we're talking about the death of the body, the soul becomes separated from the physical body. When we're talking about spiritual death, we're talking about that we have become separated from God. We're eternal beings. We're going to spend, our soul is going to, our animation, the software that runs this hardware is going to live forever. You understand that, right? Do we all understand that? Death means the soul, the animation, is separated from the physical body. But that soul is going on somewhere. That's what we need to be concerned with. What's going to happen to this? We're so wrapped up, white-knuckling the world, concerned about this body. And what we need to be concerned with is the heart. Now, I'm not talking about that muscle that to pumps blood. I'm not talking about that. That's not what that's talking about. The mind, will, and emotions of a person's animating force in here is his soul. The heart is the center of that soul. We're talking about a heart renewal. You can't shortchange the Lord. What he wants is your heart. He wants our heart. I think I can pacify him when I show up here and do what Adrian Rogers called the three S's, the sit, soak, and sour for an hour and feel like I've done God some radical favor. No, he wants to know me, my soul, my heart, the center of my mind, will, emotions, my person. Glenn David, ugly as he is on the inside, ridiculous and stupid and rude and abrasive as he is, he wants to transform the inside, the center of my soul. We think we're slick, don't we? Think we'd say the right words. We can con him and hustle him. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the Word of God, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, was our Savior. The Word and the Spirit, these two, the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive, active. I mean, you know that this is the written version of Jesus Christ. He's the fleshed out version of this word. This word that cuts and separates and divides soul from spirit. That's mind, will, and emotions from the spirit of God. It divides out. Well, our lives are a chaotic mess, a crumbled up like the Play-Doh I talked about one time before. And we can't make sense of any of it. And it's the Word of God, both the living Word and the written Word working in tandem together in our lives. It's why we go to church. It's why we do this, to be renewed in the spirit, to separate this stuff out so we can make sense out of the chaos of our carnal lives. So that we can understand that all this exterior stuff is just distraction from being one with our Creator on the inside. I think I just chased a rabbit, didn't I? Harsh discipline, that's hell, is for him who forsakes the way, forsakes Jesus. And he who hates correction will be separated from God. Verse 11, let's tandem onto that. Verse 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the what? Say it out loud. Hearts of men and women. Men, when it says men, you ladies aren't off the hook. Do you know what that means? The Spirit pricked a little curiosity up. And I said, what does that mean that these things are before the Lord? Well, the Lord said, well, you've been before someone before. Anybody ever stood before a judge? Don't. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. That's what it's talking about. I know a lot of people, they're scared to death. They're going to go to hell if they don't just walk this razor sharp edge. But hell and destruction, they stand on the opposing side of the bench from the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. These things are before Him. The hearts of men and women are before the Lord. We stand before Him. You better be on the list in the book to where the judgment has already been poured out on the cross of Calvary when you stand before the judge. Praise the Lord Jesus. Dragging this out way too long. Okay, so hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer is a proud and haughty man. A scoffer does not love, he doesn't delight in, he doesn't appreciate, he doesn't befriend the one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart, it all begins with the heart. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. We want to make a cheerful countenance and think that will revive our heart. That's backwards. You've got to get the heart right. If you want a cheerful countenance, if you want to be lifted up out of the depression, we got some heart work to do. It's the heart that produces a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit, the inner man is broken. The heart, verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding, we know that understanding is knowledge of the Holy One, that's Jesus. The heart of him who has understanding, he seeks knowledge. He seeks the knowledge of God. He seeks through intelligence. He seeks wisdom. If he has knowledge of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, if you've got our hearts are connected to him, if we're in submission and subjection to him, if we're walking in his love, we're going to seek knowledge. I'm not saying that you need to be a seminary student, but I'm saying that we need to be in church. Because God has established an order, and He's given men burdens and responsibilities to share this word, right, wrong, or indifferent, good, bad, or ugly, whether you agree with it, makes you feel good or not, whether my performance is great or whether it stinks, the Lord is in charge. He has provided for us people. I'm not just talking about here in church. I'm not just talking about preachers preaching at you. I'm talking about friendships, talking on the phone, discussing the Word of God, talking about the witness and the loving of the love of the Lord and how we walk through each and every day. We need that. That's seeking the knowledge and the wisdom and the true intelligence of God. Friendship, fellowship, brotherhood, family. Gotta be in one mind. But the mouth, the access point to the heart of fools, feeds on foolishness. The heart of him who has understanding, knowledge of the Holy One, he seeks knowledge. But the mouth of the fool, the access point of the heart of the fool, feeds on foolishness. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted, the spiritually poor, everyone without Jesus, without an honest and sincere and genuine working daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, are among the afflicted, whether you realize that or not. And I don't care what your title is or how good it looks on the inside. It's easy to be among the afflicted. Life kind of ebbs and flows. It's a difficult process for the Christian. If someone told you that all your dreams are going to come true and you're going to be on easy street when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, they lie. It's the struggle against yourself, the struggle of surrendering your will for His. Let the games begin. And it's hard to walk it faithfully day after day after day and be faithful and true to that relationship with the Lord and watching and being corrected and struck. You're drifting off the path, son. You've left your first love. So me? Yeah, you. Okay, let's fix it. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. But it is a source of joy and peace to know the Lord and to be known by Him. If you don't get anything else, take anything else away from Him tonight, take that with you. Ponder on it and think about it and hold it. And meditate on it. And realize that that's the truth. I was hoping to get 20 verses, but we're going to have to amend that. And I got hot, so I'm sniffling. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted, verse 15, are evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Does that mean that, boy, if I get this thing just right with Jesus, boy, we're going to have another poor day? No, Paul said, I've learned. He didn't say I was born, I come this way. I've learned to be content with wealth and with poverty. I've had fine apparel. And I've been in rags. I've been in prison. I've been free. I've had plenty to eat, and I've had nothing. But I've learned to be content, to be satisfied with Jesus. That was not an easy process for Paul. He was an older man when the Damascus road took place, and then he went through all kinds of stuff. Y'all know, you've read the story. He was stoned, shipwrecked, and beaten, 3-4 times 39 lashes. He died once. He's chained to a wall in prison for the sake of the gospel when he said these words. I've learned how to be content in all circumstances. That's available to us. If you're willing to pay attention to this heart. Let's quit there. Because it's... Because I'm just going to sniff them for the rest of the night anyway, so we just walk with it, right? We're out of time anyway. Ron, let's do that chorus. Let's take that last song off, and let's just do that chorus. We don't have the words to put up. We're just going to play this. We're shooting from the hip here. We're going to do this chorus. And, oh, y'all, it's easy. You can,
indeed.
You can jump in. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever worth it. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the
change my heart, oh.